and then the footnote.
But they won't change the text. The footnote tells you what
should be read in. So then that's why they run the parallel between them.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes some sense then. Because then this would point out what kind of word it is to go grab from, and that would point out what the other reading was.
Well, this is good, though. It does have a lot of the stuff there.
Oh, yeah. We'll see.
You've got your numbers and everything written down here.
See, his whole book is in Hebrew. They had to take his whole front section and translate it for you, the keys and everything. And then they made this little neat little card to go for it, too. So that'll come in handy. They've also got all the books of the Bible listed, too, in the book, in the thing itself. Because he uses that instead of numbers, like we do. You know, for your concordance listing is done in Hebrew. So a little bit of memorization and you'll be all right with it. I'll be all right.
But the Hebrew verbal stems, the Aramaic.
See, the way this concordance is broke up, and the reason I like it, is what it does is it breaks, he takes everything pertaining to that word and puts it within one region. So he starts you out with what I think the verb, and then he breaks it down into its, you know, the substances, the other usages, you know, and then the different forms. And
so when you have this card handy when we're going through, and make a copy of that or something.
Sure.
Put it in your notebook and homework. You know, when we're going through, something comes up, and check if you have a card. Okay. Well, they didn't mind you postponing the test.
finished? Let me change papers then. Okay, number one, at the top, should be to turn aside, incline, or thrust aside. To turn aside, incline, or thrust aside. The ROA is arm, figurative of strength. If you just had arm, that'd be fine.
How about strength?
Or if you just had strength only, that'd be fine. Okay. Number three, to cure or heal, rafa, to cure or heal. Number four, kavra, to bow down, to bow down. Number five, negev, is before or in front of. Either one, before.
Or over against.
Over against, is that all I have?
Before or
over. Oh, before or over against. Probably all right.
Isn't that the brain game?
It is, yeah, that's fine.
I figured he would know since he read it in Ezekiel.
Number six, Menucha is a resting, rest or a resting place. Menucha. Rest or a resting place. SF key is accept that or save that. Accept that or save that. Kamal. Okay, number eight, to spare or pity. Yeah, get them reversed. Okay. To spare or pity for Kamal. And Rishkeim, to be compassionate toward. To be compassionate toward. Rishkeim.
To
be compassionate. So I always said that's fine. You almost have to have something, you know, to bridge the gap over there. Okay, and then Keresh is male, is lamb, the lamb, male lamb, or just lamb.
Huh? What's the English part worth? First part, first point.
Oh, yeah, 2 points each. All or nothing, basically. Okay, now the second section is 3 points each. 1 point for each error, spelling error, letter, or vowel point, and 1.5 point for dagesh. So three possible second section. Number one, to split. Let's see, I have to read this. Okay, number one, to split. To turn toward or turn on the.
Interesting that if you look at it as just a noun, it would be face word.
Face word? Oh, yeah. Yeah, directive A.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. It maybe is probably connected. Okay. Anything with turning or anything is connected with face.
That's sort of the translation, James, all the time.
Facing, okay. Yeah, I'm sure that's what it's from. Okay, or one's from the other anyway. All right, sword, cheret. You don't need to put the accent in. That's what the stress would be with his little accent, like. Seglet. To divide or make a separation between, if deal. Seen that a lot in Genesis 1.
Yeah.
Participle thereof. Yes, in the dollar. Half point on dagation. No dagation in the base, but dagation in the dollar. Just because you got a closed syllable on it's the guy can pass.
No, sorry, found that the yak dao, that is close, but if you look at it in both cups, it didn't have any dagation in the dollar. That put together, or all together, it said yak dao.
I think there are some exceptions from time to time. That's basically the pattern you have. Unless they intend that syllabi vocal.
Oh, yeah.
Was it, what was the first vowel? Was it a batak or a consonant?
Batak, and then the schwa and the khe.
Okay, the khe didn't have, well, of course, we didn't have that. That may be a, kind of the problem there with the khe, didn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It might tend to be vocal.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. Rain, latar. I don't know if Elias' name means that.
Oh, that's true.
No, I'm just asking.
Yeah,
it seems to be double P though, isn't it? Okay. And then to contain, sustain, or support, kill kale. Kaf with dagesh. Girik, shawa. Kaf with dagesh again. There you are. No kale. And to anoint, mashach. This forgives Messiah. Mashiach. That's the way to make it hurt. Murphy's Law.
Yeah, just a little God. I saw that you can have it as a sticker on your, or as a nice kind of thing on your desk if you want that.
Mm-hmm. Sure. A brother gave me a calendar. It's a 365 day year calendar. Each one has a corollary of Murphy's Law on it. It's really hilarious. I'll take the corollary, you know.
I remember you used that in the sermon, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Yeah, I used some of them in that. Okay. I get a little humor in the church once in a while. Okay, this is to think, devise, reckon, or impute. Chasha. And iron, barzel. Finally, number 10, supplication. Okay, subtract the number of points from 50.
3 points on that last set, 2 points on the first set. And return to the owner when you check it over. Okay, when you're satisfied, I'll just collect them here, and maybe we can get them priced. And continue. Okay. Yes, I'd like to review here and get you prepared for this. Oh, you didn't bring Landon? Well, we can wait.
Did you bring Landon?
How many of you?
Two
of you did? Okay. Yeah, you can sit beside one another. I kind of like to start it today, because I'd like some questions come up. Other races to be together in this day. Okay, we're going to have this test a week from today. And it'll be a grammar translation test, so you need to be familiar with the translations at the end, as always. There probably won't be too long sections on those. But in Lesson 53, we're picking up from what we started in Lesson 52 on these suffixes, object suffixes. So on this test, you'll be responsible for the ones that are in Lesson 53 and 54, which includes the rest of the perfect and then the imperfect with the pronominal suffixes. And most of these fall into similar categories because they end with vowel stems. And so the ones with vowel stems, you're using the endings, mostly those post-vocalic endings, B category on page 260. Although this first The first couple of forms here have some comments. Section 188, the obvious suffix is on the perfect. See, we had in chapter 52, we had the third person masculine singular form with object suffixes and the second person masculine singular form with object suffixes. And you don't need to worry about those for the test. So in the test, I'm only going to give you forms from lesson 53 and 54 to help you a little bit. Anyway, this third person feminine singular is the first form that's dealt with here. And remember that ending ends in a kamate. So katava, whatever it is, if it's katav. Now that is replaced by either a kamat tau or a pasak tau before you put the endings on, the suffix endings. And then you're going to add the suffix endings that are the postcontinental consonantal stress, just like the A-type suffixes before. So, or excuse me, column C, I guess it doesn't take the stress. That's right, the stress is penultimate there. So it's the column C one. The only difference between column A and column C is the stress situation. And that'll affect the vowel points a little bit too. So use the endings in column C and change the kamat he to either a kamat tau or a pathak tau. Now, as far as the forms are concerned, if you look throughout the forms to see which when you get the kamats and when you get the pathak, you've got using shamar now, shimarathni, shimarathaka, Shimarathek. Okay, I guess that the point there is you got the stress shimarathek. That one you get the kamats. Now, I guess I can't really see a good reason for that. I'm trying to look here. Why you need it there and not the other. You do have a short syllable afterwards, but that doesn't really... Maybe you just have to memorize which one it is. I'm trying to find some kind of a key to help you. Maybe there isn't. It's just that form, the feminine singular form, and then the last form here, over here, Shimaratham, has got the same thing. It's got comments. All the rest of them have pathak on that, resh. So, if you can just remember that, if you know, when it's she observed you, she feminine singular, observed you feminine singular. So when you got the feminine singular ending and you got the masculine plural ending, you have the comments. Other than that, I can't see any real key to help you remember which one it is. The stress is always in the same position. It's always over the resh here in this verb. So that may help a little bit. It's always on that syllable that replaced the kamate. Now, as far as the test is concerned, I'll only be using shamar for the call, and bikesh for the PL, and hishmid for the ifil. So it's just the first verb in these sets again, just like we did in the previous test. So shamar to observe, bikesh to seek, and hishmid to destroy. And of course, we're only dealing with we don't have to deal with the passive forms because they're never going to have object suffixes. Okay, so the first one is the third person feminine singular, the trick there, change to pathak tau or kamat tau in a couple of places, and then add the same suffix, the suffixes in column C. So you probably want to review those suffixes depending on how you do this. You know, some of you may just remember the charts and then put them together, or some of you just maybe remember it as memorizing the paradigm, whichever one you do. Then section 189 with the object suffixes on the remaining forms of the perfect. First, you've got the second person feminine singular and second person masculine plural and feminine plural. There's some debate about whether that ever exists, but the feminine plural would do the same thing because the tem or ten would go to two. So you have a change here. The second person feminine singular ending normally tau, like kathavt or whatever, would go to kathavti, and then you add a suffix on it. In other words, you're getting a hierarchical added to it. And before you put the suffix on, that now makes it vocalic in ending, and now you use the suffixes in column B
that you attach to the vowels. And the same thing with the tim, that goes to two. And if you had a tim, that would go to two apparently also, but they may not even have any forms to that exist that do that. So, and then all the remaining stems, all the rest of the perfect paradigm, is going to end in a vowel anyway. And so, you know, your first person form with the hirik yod ending and the third person plural with the shirik ending and so forth, they're always already ending in vowels. So all the rest of the forms, including these second person forms, are going to take the vocalic suffixes. So that makes them fairly easy, as long as you remember what the suffixes are. Okay. So you've got shimartini, for example, you observe me. Shimarti, see the hirik yod is being stuck onto the tau at the ending of the feminine singular, and then ni is the suffix that's added on. You observe me, you feminine singular observe me. Shimartim, same thing, you observe them. Shimartika, I observed you. So you get shimarti, and then you put the suffix on it, and then you shorten the first syllable, of course, down to shua. That's what we need to remember in all of these. And I think everything else is pretty explanatory. They observed me, shimaruni. Again, shimaru would have been the form you'd had, and then it, adding the suffix on to the vocalic ending. And of course, you do change your vowel points around a little bit too, because it was been a shomaru, shamaru, I guess, before, and then now you've got shimaruni. So you reduce the first one and lengthen the second one. I suppose we've gone through that before. I guess you may need to review Lesson 52 a little bit to pick up some of the detail. Okay. But the main thing is getting that papak lengthened to a comma from the second syllable when you're reducing the first syllable, many of these forms. Okay, any other questions there? Shift of stress is a result of propriotonic reduction. The restoration of the full vowel in shamaruhu. Well, okay, that's putting the comments. I think he means he's referring to the papa going to comments. Possibility of confusion between second person feminine singular and first person common singular with the T. That's something to note too, because you, when you put the T on there, then it's going to look like the I form. And the form is going to be the same, in fact. You're going to have to tell by context. So if you look, for example, up that column, the second form down from the top, you observe them, Shemar Team, and you look at the fifth form down, I observe them, Shimartim. And the form is just exactly the same. They put an accent mark on that last. Don't worry about this last, this section 190, the group of irregular call verbs. We've had enough problems with what we've got, so you can ignore that. Okay. Any questions there before we go to Lesson 54? Just a matter of learning the forms, I guess. But like I said, you'll only have Shamar, Bikesh, and Hishmiz. And what I'll do is give it to you both ways. I'll give you a Greek, a Hebrew form, and then you tell me what the English means. So you will need to know the English meaning of these verbs, too. To observe, to seek, and to destroy. And then I'll reverse it and give you the English, and then you give me the Hebrew form. Shamar, to observe, Bikesh, to seek, and Hishmid, to destroy. The first one in each one of, you know, page, the first verb in each one of those columns. Yes, yeah, same thing for paragraph 189. I'm just going to lump them all together. Okay, so in other words, for this test, you need to know all of the forms that go on perfect forms apart from the third 3MS and 2MS, which we covered in the previous chapter. Okay, and then Lesson 54 is putting them on the imperfect and on the imperative. And also has it on the infinitive construct, but we're not going to worry about that part. That's just kind of a review of what we had before. So The imperfect and the imperative are pretty much the same, too. You just need to remember what the imperative is, kind of a shortened imperfect form. And the same suffixes go on it, so you don't have anything to worry about as far as suffixes, but you may need to review your imperative. Just remember it's that shortened form, usually eshuwa in the first syllable. Now, these have a different set of suffixes, so the suffixes are laid out for you here. And in some of them you have optional sets of suffixes here. And I guess on the test I'd accept either one. So, enu and ehu for the 3MS, for example, and so forth. There's only about three of them four of them, I guess, that have two possibilities. So I'll accept either one of those. But, not sure what else to do here. The same verbs it'll be the same verbs for the imperfect as well as for the perfect. So again, shamar, bikesh, and hishmid. And, there's a note here about the fact that the adjusted form doesn't have a separate form when you put the suffix on. If you're going to put a suffix on adjusted form, you're going to go back to the full imperfect form. The apocopated forms are going to be lengthened again. But since we don't have any verbs we have to worry about that with, I guess you don't need to worry about that for the quiz. Okay. And since these are basically prefix type of situations, the suffix doesn't really propose that, do all that much. If we're not worried about these irregular verbs, at least. So I guess you can just kind of look at the paradigm here and pretty much figure it out. So Yishmaru, and that becomes Yishmaruni. Since that one ends in a vowel, let's see, Yishmor. Yishmarani. You can just apply any of the other suffixes to it. I guess there's really nothing. These are rather simple. That's why you can cover it all in one chapter. Suffixes on the imperative. You just need to know that the imperative form is, know the difference between the imperative and the imperfect, and then the same endings apply. So it's the same ending system. Of course, you're only going to be worried about a few, there'll be fewer forms as far as what you're going to put suffixes on, but you'll have the full range of suffixes there. Okay, any other questions on that?
Do any words?
What's that? Yeah, just shamar, the same verbs, shamar, bikesh, and hishmid, only those, and that's the first three, again, the first one in each one of those three columns. So for the imperative, the same situation, just those three you'd be responsible for. Yeah.
You just got nine forms with, 10 different endings on them?
Mm-hmm.
Eight different endings.
Tell her to do it. And they're different than the ones for the perfect.
Mm-hmm. 215 different endings just for the perfect.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Speak from experience. Okay. Lesson 55, there isn't too much to say about. The first part of it was dealing with these conditional sentences, and I guess the bottom line of the first part is that Hebrew conditional sentences, the ones that are unmarked, have to be determined by context. In other words, you don't have anything other than context to go by. It's just the fact that one event follows another. And it's almost that fallacy of in logic where if one thing follows another, the first thing is attributed to be the cause of the other. That's not really what they're doing, but it's just that they don't make a distinction in those things. Yes, John?
Did you say we were going to have to know for the imperative and the infinitive construct?
Not the infinitive construct. Don't worry about that, but just for the imperative. Be familiar with those. But they're the same ending, so it's just a matter of generalizing to that. I think for the imperative, the only thing you're going to need to watch is to recognize the imperative root, because the suffixes are the same as the imperfect. So you just might review your imperative root forms there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's about all there is to it, and there's no prefix. So it's just shamor. Instead of yishmor, shamor.
Yeah.
and then the suffix is the same. Okay, and do notice that you get when you add the suffix on, you get a kind of a rule of schwa thing where you get shom rainy, for example. You get same thing happened before when we put suffixes on nouns like that. So you probably should take note of that. The shimaru, of course, doesn't get. What chapter was it that we had imperative? You may just want to find that. All we just need is a simple call. Okay, the imperfect there. Imperative chapter 25, page 113. Okay, what happens then is you just review this like with Kasav. It's Kasov, Kitvi, Kitvu, and Kasovna. There are your four possible forms here for your imperatives. Singulars and plurals, masculine and feminine. And when you put the suffix on, this Kasov with the Shua form, that's the only one that's really affected here. The same thing happens as happens on the top of the next page with a longer form of the masculine where you have the kamate onto it. It becomes kofba. Well, the other ones, you know, again, you get the kof, you get the kamskatuf in the first syllable and the shua in the second. Silent shua. So I think if you just notice that, there shouldn't be any problem there. And with the pls and the hifils, that doesn't happen anyway. So it's only with the call. So I guess the only trick might be in the call, just in the masculine singular form of the imperative, you need to watch for that change. Okay. Simple as that. Just learn all the suffixes.
We're not really going to do anything.
Huh? Not much. About the only thing in 55 to note, I don't have any questions on it. It's just kind of, in other words, I'm not going to be doing any translation exercises or anything like that with it. But I think about the main thing to observe is just conditional sentences are determined by context and the fact that there are some that are that do have introduction words. In other words, a lot of them just, you can't tell the difference between that and a narrative. You just have to go by context to decide. But then there are some that are marked, and you've got im, hen, and ki marking ones that are real, fulfilled, or fulfillable, and then lu marking those which are unreal, contrary to fact. Don't worry about the lu ones because they're so rare that you might just take note of it, but I'm not going to be asking any questions on this stuff. So just by way of our own review here, the only thing I may be asking you about is with regard to this section 197, clause sequences. And the fact that this haya here, this temporal modifying haya, and the fact that it's ambiguous until you see what verb picks up the sequence. So I would expect you to know if the verb is picked, if you start off with a haya, and then it's picked up with a converted perfect, what kind of translation you're going to have, or if it's picked up with a converted imperfect, what kind of translation you have. That's about the only point you really need to remember on that. So there's really not much by way of anything along those lines will come out in the translation part. Excuse me. And then, of course, translation for those last sections, for those three chapters. Only the parts that we did in class, which is that last section. So you'll have 2 Samuel 12, 1 to 15 there in lesson 53. Lesson 54 didn't have any. So, and then lesson 55 had this prayer of Solomon. Yeah, that's so long. Yeah, that makes up for it. Okay. Well, we can take more questions next week on that if it becomes appropriate. So, if as you're doing review and things come up, don't hesitate to bring them up next week. And now we can continue with Genesis. Okay, 2 minutes left. Tony had he found in his Hebrew concordance at home a little card that had some of these symbols identified, but unfortunately not the ones that we were looking for. Islamic Aleph still isn't there, but a lot of them said like noun, verb, adjective, and so forth, and they were all grammatical notes as to something to do with the text.
Mm-hmm.
we have more than this to be solved, but still not the parts we want. And that book did say that the circle was indicating a carry
reading. So, in other words, it was indicating the footnote will tell you what you should read, and the text contains what, of course, was written. So, in other words, it's dealing with things that they think were manuscript problems, or errors, or mistake of some sort. And sometimes that wasn't on the basis of any good manuscripts, it's just on the basis it didn't make sense or something. They didn't think it was the right reading.
Sometimes they try reading the words.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, what doesn't make sense to a Jewish mind, you know, that's rejected Christ, may make sense to someone else. Okay, I think we left off at verse 28 or 29, somewhere in there, verse chapter 1. Let me see if I can exclude from most of the earth. Okay, I think we got through verse 28, I think. Or did we? I know we got through 27. Yeah, I think we did 28. Mm-hmm. Okay, so verse 29 then. Any volunteers to start today? Go ahead, John.
Vayom Elohim Hine Nafati Lachem Lahem Kur Eser Zorea Zera Asher Av Mitzne Kur Haaret Uet Kur Haaret Asher Bo Kuri Eser Zorea
the Okla. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And God said, "Behold,
I give to you every."
Okay,
let's see. Yeah, Lachem would be... Behold, I have given to you... Oh, you were? Okay, fine, that's fine.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Okay, every grass or herb seeding seed.
That's right. Okay. I got the seed.
Okay.
Grass seeding seed, which is upon the face of all the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And every... or all the trees which in all the tree, I suppose.
Yeah, all the tree or every tree, which, I suppose. Well, all the trees got the article, yeah.
Yeah, it's got the article. All the tree which in it, it's fruit of the tree.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Kind of redundant, but that's what it is, yeah.
Bearing seed to you.
Right. Or you could say, it's almost like a redundant picking up of the previous Lachem. For you it should be.
And it will be to you for food. Or
right.
Possess it or for food. Or
right.
Have it for food.
Right. It will be to you for food. Yeah. Okay. Good. You will have it for food or possess this food. All right. Good. So when God said, "Behold, I have given to you every herb seeding seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of the tree," I guess. Or whose fruit is in it, something like that. Every tree whose fruit is in it, something like that. Seeding seed, to you it shall be for food. Okay. Questions, anyone? Okay.
The to you really is... You said it as though it's the direct object of it will be. For
yes,
you.
I think it's kind of a pause and for you or
you
to you, it should be for food.
So it is a pause there.
Uh huh. Yeah, I think that's what it is. It's, you know, it's paused there and then to you it should be for food.
Yeah,
it should be. Yes. Still everything.
Be worthwhile.
Mm-hmm. Probably devise a diagramming system for Hebrew without too much trouble. I say that now, but I haven't tried it.
After
this way.
Yeah, that would be, that would really be, you probably would. You start with your,
yeah,
you know.
Otherwise it would look kind of funny.
Yeah, it would really scramble you up if you didn't. Okay, that's a challenge for somebody for a master's thesis, perfecting the system of diagramming.
Agree there.
Yeah, right, doctors agree. Okay, verse 30. And Tony, you just came in on time if you want to take it.
Verse 30.
I've
been trying to find the beginning of it. I can do 31.
Okay,
Eric can do 30.
Okay, Eric can do 30. Go ahead.
I got that.
We'll let you do 31 then, Tony. Okay.
It
means green.
Green.
Green, color green. Every green herb. Every green of herb. That's what they give here. Every green plant. Well, it looks like they put it as noun and construct. And maybe their idiom for colors, too. Every green of herb is what it's literally saying. So it's not. It's definitely not an adjective, but that's what they give it here. Every green plant, every green of herb, literally. That's kind of interesting. It'd be interesting to check and see what other, you know, where colors are described and see how they're set up. If this is just an idiom for this, every green of herb, you know, maybe, because we talk about greens too, you know, we almost make a noun out of the idea of a green herb. So that may be what's happening here. But the construction is definitely a noun and construct. Now, I can't say, generalize that to say if every time they're describing a color, they'll put it as a noun and construct, or whether they just use it as an adjective, like we do, but that's what happens here.
And to every living, or to all the living things of the earth, all the fowls of the air, all the creeping things, every creeping thing upon the earth,
mm-hmm,
which in it is living soul,
mm-hmm,
to all green earth, the food, and so it was.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. So, to every animal of the earth, to every bird of the heavens, to every creeping thing on the earth, in which is a living soul, every green plant, for food. You almost have to supply any is. It's all is for food. So with reference to all of these things, it is for food. And it was so. No wasted words. So, okay. So it's almost like this idea, with reference to all of these things, it is for food. Okay, verse 31. Tony, you want to take that then?
Wayera Elohim et kol asher Da Wahine Tod Neod Wayahi Erev Wayahi Oker Don Ashishi.
Okay, Ashishi. All right. Translation?
My turn. And God saw
slow down there after that one. Notice the tov ma'od here.
Yeah.
Instead of tov. All the other ones had tov, and now it's tov ma'od. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what Landon would do with the hine here. I don't know how you would translate that besides behold.
Truly.
Truly, maybe something like that. Indeed. It was good indeed. Yeah. I like behold. It was very good. Yes, all that he'd made. Now it's asa, and it seems to be describing the whole works, you know, because a series of punctilio creations can be lumped together to call an asa. See, that's kind of interesting. Yeah. And there are times, you know, when you'll find people who will argue, well, there's no difference between bara and asa because one verse will refer to the same event and call it asa, and another verse will refer to the same event and call it bara. That happens. But it's a different view of the thing. In some instances, God may be just emphasizing the fact that he created out of nothing. In other instances, he may be emphasizing the fact that though he created it out of nothing, he did it in a series of discrete creations all bound together. You see, the creation of the heaven and the earth could be called an asa because he did it over a period of time, even if it was short. Or it could be considered a bara, just in the sense of coming from nothing. Okay, well, that's a good place to stop. Into chapter 2, or into chapter 1. Yeah, out of nothing. Creation out of nothing. You can't really prove that bara means out of nothing.
The etymology goes back to, you know, cutting and carving and so forth, but the fact is that bara is used in reference to God creating, it's never used in reference to man. And asa is used to both.
Not just
God.
It's referred to, says, thy creators.
Oh, okay. Father, Son, Holy Ghost.
One creates, one makes.
Thanks, Tony.
You're welcome.
Yeah, that'll go in your notebook there. And
in fact,
as I'm reading the introduction, I see any more notations that look other than what's on the card. You know, sometimes they condense.
Right. I'll write them down and you're up.
Okay.
I appreciate that.
I'm still, someday we'll find out what that sonic olive is.
Yeah, well, I have a suspicion it's in that concordance, because he uses everything else. Mm-hmm. But even all the numerals in that aren't all listed on that blue card, and the book of the Bible aren't listed.
Right.
Yeah, it's probably just one more difficult thing, I guess, than those. But, yeah, that'll tell you.
We'll make another copy of that test. Peter wasn't here.